This is the last day of 3 days of hearing. The first 2 days were, I thought, very useful. And I'm sure today will be as well. The idea is for us to engage with the Parliament's strategy and to try and show where we may do things a bit better, or the department may do things a bit better. Obviously, the next strategy will only be drafted in 5 years' time as a review. But as I've said to the department, that doesn't mean that we should just accept the strategy at ease, and if there are weaknesses, we know that'll wait till 5 years to fix it up. So some of the proposals we've made, they will already draft some reports for us and do some work to try and get these things done better. So that's really the object of what we're trying to do. And so that by when we get to the 5 years, hopefully we'll have a much stronger and much deeper understanding of what we're trying to do around waste and sanitation. Where's today's program? Was it this final one? Which one? It's not a day. That's the problem. It's not here. Evening. Has someone got the program? In any case, Busa and Chemical is first. Ms. Lotta, who has basically become second, a part of the committee almost. Oh, here's one here.
What I'd like to do today is just focus on some amendments we hope you'll be able to consider, some amendments to the Act. That's the challenges with the definitions and the challenges with the Part 8, which, as you know, is not yet in force. As part of the challenges that we experience with the definitions, we engaged extensively with the department who provided us with an interpretation of the definition. Unfortunately, in some ways, the interpretation made it even more difficult, and the most difficult is that the provincial competent authorities will not accept the interpretation. They say they have to work on the Act. So, Chair, we hear, hopefully, for your assistance in this regard. I can't tell you how pleased we are about that. So I won't dwell on that. I'm very pleased to hear that. The difficulty, however, we have is with further aspects of the definition. If you look at the three main subsections of the definition, surplus, unwanted, etc., the difficulty here is that surplus is, in a sense, a positive concept. It means that you have something that you still want. You don't, because something is surplus, may mean you don't want it today or you don't need it today, but you may need it in 6 months' time. the difficulty that we have here is that we are getting an interpretation that the raw material that we're storing, because we're not using it at this particular time, because we're not making that product for whatever reason, the market is down, in the year's time we want to reintroduce that production line, the surplus is counted as waste. The other concepts are all negative concepts. Quite correctly, they reflect also a lack of value. And this, the first concept is that it's an anonymous decision whether the material is surplus, unwanted, etc. The second concept is that the generator has no further use of for the purposes of production. So that means that an individual generator would not use it himself. That must be treated or disposed of, no problem. I won't deal with the and or all thing because, as you said, we're going to move on that. The further difficulty that we have is with the definition of byproduct. Now, byproduct for process industries is a standard term that we understand as the first part of the definition. In other words, a substance that's produced as part of a process that is primarily intended to produce another substance. This is the same as the DEA's interpretation. We've got no difficulty with that. The challenge comes when we get to the next part of the definition in the Act. Has the characteristics of an equivalent virgin product or material. Now, here I'd like to give you an example.
The virginity part is the apple.
Sorry?
The virginity part
is the apple. It's a difficult word sometimes here. There's no question about it. So, here, for example, I'd like to use an example out of the chemical sector. We make chlorine by applying an electrical current to sodium chloride, salt. And from that process, we produce chlorine, primary product, and we produce sodium hydroxide, caustic soda, as a byproduct or secondary product. There is no equivalent virgin product to sodium hydroxide if you use the department's interpretation that the substance must demonstrate equivalent chemical and physical properties. Such a thing doesn't exist. Caustic soda does not exist in nature. It is only made through the process that I've described, the application of an electric current to sodium chloride. So the difficulty with this is that we can't get an equivalent product against which we would determine compliance with equivalent chemical and physical characteristics. That's the one challenge. The other challenge is that the Act itself does not say that you are restricted to chemical and physical properties. It says you must have the characteristics of a virgin product. Now, characteristics can also mean utility. In other words, if I use sand as an aggregate in making a brick, and I can also use fly ash to do the same thing, it has equivalent utility. So the interpretation is going beyond, in our view, what is written in the Act. The fact that the substance or object. Object is the problem here as well, because a byproduct generally is a product of a production process, and you wouldn't use the term object in relation to that. We agree that a byproduct, in almost all cases, it might not be 100%, but almost all cases, can be used directly without further processing. So that is an interpretation of the department, but it's not contained in the Act. So really what we're saying here, Chair, is I know that we have been accused, or certainly some of our affiliates have been accused by the department of trying to evade the requirements of the Act by making things byproducts when they're not. But that is really not the case. We use byproducts is a standard term for us, and it's difficult for us to now try to get our heads around calling it something else. So we really think this needs a review. The other difficulties we have, and I understand here that you asked for examples on this, is the matter of recovery. Now, we would understand under recovery, for example, that if we have a dump of fly ash, we take that fly ash and we sieve it to get a very specific particulate size, which is the specification we require for a certain application. that would be extracting a useful product from the West, and therefore fly ash that had been sieved in that manner would have been recovered. The same with coarse ash. It's a bit more difficult, and this is why these terms are difficult in the Act. Coarse ash, for example, we would first crush before we sieve. We wouldn't immediately sieve it. So that, by crushing, we would not consider controlled extraction. So it's a challenge. We would see that in terms of the definitions of the Act as a recycling activity. We also understand under recovering energy from waste with a calorific value. So in other words, a kind of a waste which if you use it, it generates heat for you, for example. A good example of that is using organic waste in cement kilns in place of coal. It has a lower carbon footprint, so it has a beneficial impact on greenhouse gas emissions, and it does the job just as well. So again, it's a case of utility of the material. Reuse is also quite difficult. And here I should say that in all of these examples, I'm speaking about industrial waste, not post-consumer waste. Post-consumer waste is much easier. You know what is a waste and what it is. You don't want it, you throw it away. No difficulty. Now, here we come to articles from the waste. Now, we are using articles in a very broad sense. Because the lime sludge, for example, we would not normally say is an article, but we use it without changing it. We produce it through a process, we take it, and we use it for ash heap stabilization, for example, for dust suppression. Recycling. Now, here, there's a clear process of reclaiming something, so there's a waste stream. Take part of it out, perhaps, as the definition says, separation, and you process it to produce a product. Now, we use a lot of metal catalysts, valuable metals, platinum, cobalt, to accelerate the reaction. Once that catalyst no longer has enough power in it to catalyze and accelerate the reaction, we get the metals recovered from it. We send it to somebody else. We don't normally do it ourselves, and we get this. We see that as a recycle. You recycle the metal. Packaging materials are probably the most common form of recycling, the post-consumer waste, where we have a very good record of recycling glass, plastic, metal, and paper. We also use certain kinds of organic waste as a stabilization material, and ash as a stabilization in remediation. Now, what we would like here is a much simpler definition. We don't need to go into the detail here, the ore you've already said you will deal with, but we would like to review the entire definition, not only the and ore. We would like byproduct to be defined as we all understand it, and then we don't think there's a problem. We think, of course, that in looking at this, we have to remember that the minister has the power, that if she sees that there's a problem, she may declare anything as waste. So in other words, if we have a less conservative definition and there is a problem, the minister has the power to immediately do something about it. All she doesn't have to do is declare the material that's giving her difficulty as a waste. We must review the terms reuse, recycling, and recovery to make sure they work seamlessly together and to make sure that we don't have the difficulty. We've got 9 provincial competent authorities. Each one tells us a different thing on these 2 terms. Also, the way the terms are used in the list of waste management activities is different from the way they're defined in the Act. So it's very, very challenging. Now, Chair, the contaminated land, this is part A that you know not yet enforced. Now, the Act, although there are some internal inconsistencies in the text itself, and which I think would be good to review, it requires a clear, unambiguous, stepwise approach to the process. In the first instance, an investigation area must be identified by the minister, either out of her own knowledge or out of notification by a landowner. When it has been identified as an investigation area, the landowner must be notified. He's been notified that it's been identified as such, and tells him what must he do. Mostly it requires a site assessment, which in a sense is a risk assessment. The minister then considers the site assessment report and requires either no action, because the site assessment report indicates there's no contamination. It's one thing to suspect this, it's quite another for it to be a fact. May require remediation. So very specifically, the minister may say, in the light of this, this is what you must do. Or the minister may say, the contamination is such that there's no risk, for example, of it moving, polluting groundwater, anything like that. You must take containment measures, other measures. You don't have to remediate. The regulations that have recently been published do not follow this approach. This is a very important consideration for us. This stepwise approach, risk assessment, we totally understand. We've got no difficulty with it. In fact, we would be very keen for Part A to enter into force as soon as possible. But it's got to, the regulations, the implementation of it, they've got to follow the Act. It can't be some other time in the process. So we'd be quite keen to have that looked at.
What part of the regulation?
Chair, we can give you a detailed submission on it, but if I go back, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go back. If I give, for example...
You're saying you're not following the
The regulations will require us to do something. There's no intervention by the minister. Where the Act is clear, the minister must first act, we respond to her direction. Also, the Act makes provision and recognises that a site is very specific. So the remediation measures that you take on a particular site must respond to the assessment and could be completely different, even for two adjacent sites, depending on what the activity was. The regulations speak about a generic approach to all sites. It's just not implementable. So, also the provision, the possibility that you don't have to remediate is not taken into account in the regulation. Also, the other thing is that the Act requires it's not the only way you can identify an investigation area, but the main way you identify is to for the minister to declare a high-risk activity. So, for example, the disposal of hazardous waste would be classified as a high-risk activity. So, regardless of how you manage the disposal of hazardous waste, high-risk activity, it's automatically an investigation area. There's no high-risk activities have been declared.
You said that this chapter of the Act is not yet signed by the
regulations. No.
Therefore, the regulations could not have yet signed by the
regulations. No, they haven't. The regulations are in draft, and you can't bring it into force, again, without the regulations.
You're really not asking, that's a question really to if there's merit in what you say, that the Department of Regional Services should make sure that the regulations are in line with the Act.
Except, Chair, there is a problem in, and which, to be honest, we've only now seen as we use the Act to review the regulations, there's internal inconsistency within Part 8. So that it doesn't, the sections don't speak directly to each other. So we would ask for that to be reviewed just to correct that. I think it's a simple drafting, but we can provide you the detail of that if it would be helpful. So, Chair, really what we're asking in respect of this is please review the definition of the waste, the recovery, recycling, reuse, and byproduct. And then review Part 8 with a view to amendment to make sure that it's implementable, and then the regulations you're correct, as you say, and we're quite willing to make a more detailed submission where we would give you examples if that would be helpful to you. Then, Chair, from the chemical industry point of view, here we want to focus on those areas that give us particular difficulties. The regulatory framework, the intention to streamline. streamline a licensing regime, the range of instruments that are available and the overall approach. Now, we welcome the important role of industry associations, the statement that they're important, but we think that industry associations can do much better, and in the implementation of the strategy and the action plan, there's no role really stated for industry associations. The industry waste management plans are presented in the strategy as this panacea for industry, something that we should be rushing to do. It's an incorrect assessment of what these industry waste management plans are. They are onerous and expensive instruments. We're not saying they're not useful. They can certainly be useful. But from a chemical industry point of view, for example, there are three currently under development. All three will place a levy on some products of the chemical industry. A levy has its place, but you have a proliferation of levies is going to be very difficult. And a levy, pure and simple, is tax. It's collected by solvents. If they don't collect 100 million, it's not worth it to them. If they collect 100 million, they are not going to earmark that 100 million back into environmental or waste management. They just don't. So it needs to be considered very carefully. You would think that we would be ecstatic with the context of co-regulation. We are not. We are not regulators. We are industrialists. It is our task to produce products that society requires and to comply with environmental legislation set by the state. Co-regulation is an extremely difficult process, very difficult indeed, and we're not at all sure that it's been thought through sufficiently to make a part of the implementation of the Waste Act.
So what part is
the industry expected to take with co-regulation? Well, it's not clear to you. That's the other problem. We think that it's worth a discussion. We're not saying it's not worth a discussion, but the strategy just speaks about a co-regulatory, consensual approach. You cannot always reach, as a regulator, consensus of industry about what is required. If the department was required to do that, it would take all the time. So we think there's a role for industry as partners with government in achieving certain common objectives. But to introduce a co-regulatory approach, and particularly without being very clear what the role is of the different players, we think it needs very careful consideration. The regulatory model is set out, but we think it's not clear. We think it's important that you have a clear regulatory model. You set out clearly the process of developing regulations. You set out clearly the process of developing norms and standards. The norms and standards the process of developing norms and standards set out in the strategy is not the process that is currently used. We support the process set out in the strategy that for a technical standard you use the standards authority because they're competent in doing that and the regulator uses that in the best way possible. That's what the strategy says, but that's not what's happening. So we think it's important for the strategy to be reflecting reality. A regulation is something that is mandatory to comply with. It cannot be voluntary to comply with the regulation, as is suggested in the strategy. It's mandatory and we must comply with it. I'm very happy to say to you that I heard today that the duplicate listing of activities in the list of waste management activities is apparently resolved, it is a draft, about to be published, so we don't need to get into that. The industry waste management plans also are not voluntary instruments. They are mandatory instruments. Once they're presented, we have to comply with them. So the incorrect impression is created. Waste information, we believe, is an absolute imperative for any environmental compliance regime. We're waiting for the national regulations on waste reporting. We expect to see them any day. But the problem that we have is that provinces, as they're entitled, and we understand the constitutional imperative, Chair, but it's very costly. Provincial regulation has to be aligned, but alignment is not sufficient. We still have to report twice. to two different reporting regimes and expenses. We thought that it would be good just to indicate that the greenhouse gas, the latest version of the greenhouse gas inventory, which is currently under development, really, that in West, really suffers from a lack of sound data. For example, in the current version and all previous versions, no industrial waste management activities are incorporated in the inventory. So it's a serious gap that needs to be addressed. Then, economic instruments, of course, economic instruments are an important tool, particularly in incentivizing compliance with new legislation, where it's going to take us some effort. But we quite worry that the potential use of economic instruments is awaiting resolution of the underfront of waste management services, which in the strategy will only happen in 2016. We see no reason to wait. Incentives for improved waste management are also part of the green economy, and they're part of the incentive scheme for greening of business that has recently been launched by the DTI last month. Any further instruments should be developed in terms of existing instruments, Income Tax Act or incentives of the DTI or even the IBC. Any additional tax burden has got to be considered, because the concept of an incentive, of course, is a tax burden. It's got to be considered very carefully. Then, Chair, these new alternative instruments, which we believe have a place, but you can't have a strategy which says you're going to do something that the Act doesn't empower you to do. So in priority waste, and I recognize that this was maybe intended to be something that the industry would like, the proposal is, or the statement is, that a steering committee will be established to guide the process of declaring a priority waste. There is no power for that. So this steering committee, how will it work? The two consultation mechanisms in the Act which must be complied with is public consultation on exercise of any power, and consultation with any affected person. So if they come, the minister decides sodium hydroxide is causing a problem, they want to declare it a priority waste, they have to consult with the producers of that material. The process is set out. We really think that the strategy could have helped us to understand what is government thinking in the use of these new instruments. Other than some of the things that I'm highlighting, there's nothing beyond the Act. So we don't know what kind of waste would be declared. We don't know anything. The criteria for the decision on priority waste cannot be a set of criteria that go outside the Act. The Act sets the criteria. Those are the criteria that must be used. The question for a strategy is, how will they be used? Not what the criteria are. Extended producer responsibility. Here, there's very stringent requirements on how extended producer responsibility will be dealt with. Again, the need to consult with affected producers is not reflected. There's a very comprehensive flowchart of how this will work. It culminates in saying that you declare priority waste, which is not exactly what's required. It's also, again, it's similar to the contaminated land. The Act is clear, and correctly so, that the measures that may be introduced for a product are specific to the product. What is the problem with that specific product? They're not generic, generally. There's reference to radioactive materials, which is concerning because they're not controlled under this Act. And guidelines, we're not sure that guidelines are required, because the decision maker is the minister. The characteristics are within her discretion. So normally you would do guidelines if you want to inform industry how to work. The Act also doesn't make provisions for how you would deal with voluntary extended producer responsibility programs. Of course, industry already has significant extended producer responsibility programs. In the chemical industry, the producer responsibility is not so much extended to waste, but we have extensive programs on the safe use of our products in our downstream industry. We don't expect that to be regulated. Chair, in conclusion, we think that the strategy really has lost an opportunity to clarify government thinking in respect of the implementation of a very difficult act. And the strategy should not go outside of the act and create the impression that the act is saying something that it isn't. And I think to a large extent the complexity of the act, this is a very complex act, it's a difficult act. The complexity of the act is not recognized in the strategy, and that doesn't drive us forward. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope that the department has brought their legal issues along so that we can first hear from the department as to whether the points you have raised do make sense from their point of view, and if they have listened to you, at what stage are they today? That's what I would propose before we comment, just to hear the department first.
I don't like doing that because I'd be setting up, we do a little bit of it, but I'm careful of that because we then set up the department again. One part already in the 2 days,
okay.
So we weren't here. The department is going to take all these suggestions of amendments, put them in a document, and then comment on it to say we think this is good. Then at the later stage, we will have a look at that. We've also suggested that when we amend the NEMLA legislation, that some of these less controversial parts of the way definition, we may also at that stage be trying to amend, which will be in the beginning of the next term. So I'd rather do that because I noticed earlier when you asked the department to respond directly, that clearly you're creating a consultation situation. And I would not do that. I'm not wanting to do that. So, General, that's what we've done. We'll then get that document, and we expect them then to respond to all, because there are also other submissions that have made submissions on the amendment, more than or others than these submissions have made. Drive around byproducts.
That's Jefferson.
We would like that, then we'll take a score from there.
Well, my question would be then, given the history of and concerns expressed in the past about lack of maintenance, lack of waste management strategy in this country, and the fact that some of the big business involved have been accused of neglecting the laws of the this act was passed when 2008. Have you seen any improvement which led to the passing of this legislation in the first instance by those companies? Because we don't want to open or be seen to be giving in to the pressure by the people who have been violating the Waste Management Act in the first instance and capitalizing on technicality. Do you want the act to be amended, or do you want us to tighten the rules, the regulations?
Thank you, Chair. I don't know whether I've missed this, but I haven't had any suggestion being put forward by BUSA about putting mechanisms for waste reporting and also enforcing compliance by industry. What would you comment on that?
Any others? During the process of drafting the action plan, there is another option that I haven't heard yet. Is instead of trying to look, the definition of waste is always going to be difficult because you're dealing with such a big, you're dealing with a piece of can say what that does mean is that in your interpretation that sometimes there's a department finds things and explains things which may even not be fully denying this fact. But that's fine, because then you can always change that by your time. You're not evading cylinders like that, and we're not going to have any legal problems in that. But it strikes me that maybe the answer to it is to create a mechanism of exemption for the minister. Yesterday people came to us and said, this byproduct we use for this and this and this. Now we're having problems because, like, the cement industry came and said, cement is a waste. So we say, do you think cement's a waste? So they say, no. So now the cement industry says it's a waste because the definition says it's a waste. They say, no, it's not a waste. And we go, we put it right into it, we think it's not a waste. Someone else also yesterday said, it's a waste.
Well,
it's and no, they don't think it's so. It just seems to me one thing I don't think we're concerned is the possibility where particularly we get more technical on the industrial side, there is a possibility to, you know, so the cement thing that they fall under the definition. They can ask the minister to say what an example. In this case, the minister will think of cement, not the only. So you don't have to worry about it. But let's say there is examples where that could possibly happen. So I also ask about your comment on that, because that seems to me to be a catch-all to try and resolve possibilities where there may be an unintended consequence in the definition. Because the problem again with your suggestion of making the definition simple, I can see that on the industrial side we're going to get into trouble. Because then you start, you know, I mean, some of the interpretations then may be that, well, there's clearly and things that should definitely be others may not be there. So it seems to me to try and get a proper definition and that it works in an environment where it's so broad, maybe we need other mechanisms. Not so much to narrow the definition, but actually to say, well, if it had unintended consequences, this is the way we'll deal with it. So, and then the minister, just like you can declare something a waste, you can then say, well, this is not a waste. You know, that's the same thing the other way. The exemption will then be the opposite of what they can do now. Now you can declare something away, people don't, but then you would also have the opposite of that. So please consider that as well. And then, I'll talk to some more. Let's take that. Any talk further? Okay, there we are, all the questions. Thank you.
I think that the way to act was a long needed. Thank you.
opinion that is, it's important that we have a mutual understanding of how it actually works. We've got focuses now where we are benefiting using materials which now become aware under the Act. We say that school teachers are causing an environmental problem, then we'll certainly regulate it, but don't regulate it for the sake of it. So, for example, the understanding of the farmers and how they judge dry and not, that's not the reason that the individual sector has been showing the problem. They have been told that it is. And that's why we have some of these quite peculiar interventions. And that's why I think your idea of a guideline to implement the strategy would be helpful, because then you could quite easily specify that under these circumstances it is not quite clear. Because I think you have to be, it's not a yes no situation. It will be taken where it is, because you've got it on the way. So you need to distinguish between that, I think. Exemption is difficult then, because it's an onerous process. So we would, of course, it gives you an opportunity and an admission opportunity for this. And the department has to be in consultation with us. Draft regulations for which it was, but we have not been able to be there on the mind on it. Because the process is extremely onerous. And you don't want to have an extremely onerous process where the risk is minimal. Like in the case of sugar fly at his neck. And speaking to the government where the department can all the way anyway, what it is. We need a clarified order. So I think that a possibility of clarification, tightening up the process of decision is needed. Just looking at what are the criteria for that decision, I think would be important. I think your idea of also the theory was not. And the positive of the theory was in, I think, would be very helpful. Because that's also much less over and safe appropriate for all of us. And the intention is important for that. So the method is for waste processing and from science by industry. We agree that those rules report. That it's important that, and we have seen the draft regulation which we're saying, cool, isn't it? The department is introducing a web-based reporting portal which will allow us to introduce our data directly into the website of the department. That's currently under development. We think that's an excellent project. They're doing the same for air quality emissions and including greenhouse gases. So we think that is good. As far as industry is concerned, and if you think about big companies, all the big companies have got that problem. This is on the day. In terms of the existing requirements, they report very comprehensively on all environmental, social, as well as financial performance. So that reporting is done as a matter of course for large companies. Depending on the sector, for chemicals, for example, we have the Responsible Care Initiative, which is mandatory to be a member of our association from climate change funds, and we collect waste data from our members every year, and we touch, I don't know if it's going to be a center of our report that we should have chemistry. We will certainly do that because we report and you can see the trend, the question on there is increased, you'll see the minimization, particularly of the hazards of that. So we'll certainly see that.
Because that's what I wanted to ask.
have you ever sat down with it, with all these industries in a workshop and gone through all this? And have we done that?
I mean,
is you sit down with all of them in a 2-3 day session, you sit and talk through this. They say we worried about projects. Then you say, okay, well, we think it doesn't fall in there, so we'll see how we can deal with that. Then they say, well, we worry that you make some of the things voluntary. You should be obligatory. Now, I mean, I like it when I get into this, you tell me that, because, I mean, I'm flabbergasted that it's voluntary. I mean, you know, as the general was saying, I mean, this act has come into a kind of vacuum where people have done terrible things. And there's been terrible consequences. So, I'm just thinking that, you know, it may be some good kudos for us.
Yep.
Where in a country of working together like this, and saying, we don't have to sit down and agree with them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things I don't agree with what they're saying, but I mean, there's some good things also that we can do, and there's some just some misunderstanding we can take out of the way.
Exactly.
So it just seems to me, I would ask you to look at that. A two, 3 day kind of workshop or conference, whatever you want to call it, where it's not theory and high solution. Where you sit down and practically deal with it in terms of stuff. So really, I think it should be considered. Because it makes all these other things that we've spoke about so far make it much easier. Because you then, as a department, will be much easier to make up. You can see where the problems are, where the difficulties are. You can put your point of view across. But then, at least out of that process, you can really take a strategy that you'll then reach. In terms of the guide, also see what should be in that guide to explain practically. Because, I mean, if you take it like this, I'm sure that some of the things said here are 100%.
No, that's a good
one. I mean, that's because they interpret a broad thing like weight, they interpret in a certain way. So they say, well, the lawyers say, well, you have to be careful to interpret like this, the most narrow interpretation. So that's, I know what the lawyers say, because they want to make money. Let's consider that from the department side as well. Aside from all the other staff we've given, let's consider that. Do you want to follow up from that idea there, Mark?
Yeah, Mark. What do you offer when people want to have that jammed up? Municipalities be empowered to enforce compliance by industries within their areas of jurisdiction.
Chairperson, I just wanted to support what you have just said because as I was listening to the presenter, I had one question to ask. When last did you have a workshop or a conference? That was my main worry because it's a long time ago when I've heard that you had some kind of workshop, conference. And one other thing, I would gladly want to hear from you, how do you see that suggestion by the chairperson? Are you accepting it, or do you think it will bring any difference from, you know, thank you.
Question of the municipality enforcing the right on industries in their jurisdiction, I'm honest with you, Tim. I would have a heart attack. For us as industry, we are struggling so with the service delivery of the local authorities. I wanted to focus on electricity distribution, water, sanitation, these. I wanted to focus on that. This act is not an act which gives them power to enforce. It's very complex legislation. You need to have people that really know what they're doing. Otherwise, you have a fight all the time. So I would be very reluctant. See, as to the idea of a workshop, I think it would be fantastic. I think that because a lot of the problems that we have, I mean, I am flabbergasted to hear that client is not allowed. It is a way.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I think that they think that
cycle record. They said that when they put the fly ash in the medical car, they are reporting back to us in 3 months' time on all these. 1994, I've sat in meetings where I've seen if it was just handled differently, we would be able to leave those meetings and still be able to find each other later. Sometimes you have to be quiet and keep quiet at certain times, there to achieve certain things at another time. I'm suggesting on these issues that I don't want you to start dealing with these issues, but that's an interpretation. The next people may come here and say they disagree with that. But we didn't have to be able to answer. Okay? Please excuse the old man. He loves peace and serenity. Right.
Groundwork, the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance and the Vaal Environmental Justice Alliance. Musa Samani of Groundwork is going to be speaking after me, so he's going to address in more detail certain of the most pressing issues for communities with whom they partner, including the integration of waste pickets into waste management systems and the serious health and environmental consequences of incineration of waste. Also prepared, as you know, detailed submissions in writing, so I'm simply going to deal with a few key aspects of the strategy that you feel could be improved so that it's better able to meet its objectives, which are, of course, to achieve the objects of the Waste Act. So then, by way of an overview, the three issues I'm going to talk about briefly, Mr. Chair, are achieving the goals of the strategy, how to measure and monitor compliance, again, the regulatory framework. We also have concerns about the regulation model and certain capacity challenges in relation to the implementation of the Waste Act and especially its compliance and enforcement. So far as achieving the goals are concerned, I understand that some of this has been dealt with already. We know the strategy contains targets to be met. There seems to be a bit of an internal contradiction about whether it's 2015 or 2016, and an action plan that sets out how effects are going to be given to it and that it must be reviewed at intervals of not more than 5 years. You said, Mr. Chair, and I agree with that, that the strategy needs to be more practical in order to be enforced. This will also make it easier to measure and monitor whether governments and the role players are on track with meeting its goals and when there are instances of non-compliance, and that there need to be objectives for the short, medium, and the long term, and the time frame should extend beyond the 2015 or 2016 date because of the big investment that's required in order to meet these goals. One problematic aspect, insofar as monitoring is concerned, is that certain targets don't have a baseline, which of course means it's difficult to measure the compliance. Now, on the regulatory framework, we have a commitment to a co-regulatory and consensual approach, relying on industry initiative and voluntary compliance, and more interventionist regulatory tools will apparently only be deployed when the industry response is insufficient for dealing with the waste challenges. Now, there is place certainly for some voluntary measures, but we say given the extreme challenges of waste management in South Africa, a heavy reliance on self-regulation is unlikely to be successful. I hear industry saying they agree, they're not regulators. In fact, the current dire state of waste management likely to take this initiative. So we don't think there's a reason to believe that their initiative and voluntary compliance is going to improve to the extent that the object of the waste act will be promoted.
I mean, there's another obvious flaw in that. That is that, I mean, an association that regulates, say, the chemistry industry, I mean, they, some of them are their opponents to make money sitting on the same structure. So the chances of the one actually trying to deal with the other is almost, you know, negligible.
So we say we need strong, enforceable legislation that adheres to both society and industry, in addition to industrial commitment, political will, and consumer power, in order to challenge the improper practice. And before then, self-regulation is unsuitable. I'm sure some of you have seen this quote before by Chester Gold, which says that he found that 20% of the regulated population will automatically comply with any regulation, 5% will attempt to evade it, and the remaining 75% will comply as long as they think the 5% to evade it are going to be caught and punished. So we say there need to be serious disincentives to non-compliance, which are monitored and enforced. The capacity challenges that exist in government, especially in the local sphere, are well known. What's also clear is that the strategy requires a number of additional appropriately qualified staff in order to implement it. So Groundwork has done research that shows that very few municipalities, for instance, have integrated waste management plans. And there's a range of reporting provisions within the Waste Act, but unless there's capacity to consider and address the reports that are produced, and that they're given priority, non-compliance is monitored and appropriately addressed, these provisions are meaningless. Insofar as capacity is concerned, the strategy talks about a coordinated capacity building program for local government, which is apparently to be implemented this year. But there are insufficient details about how these serious capacity problems are going to be addressed. Then, specifically in relation to compliance and enforcement, by 2015 or 2016, again, there seems to be a contradiction about the date. We talk about 800 environmental management inspectors needing to be appointed, two-thirds of whom will operate at provincial and local government level. Now, given that the latest stats in the National Environmental Compliance and Enforcement Report show that there are 413 operational compliance and enforcement EMIs, we say this figure of 800 looks to be rather ambitious. Currently, well, at that stage at least, there were 183 EMIs responsible for brown issues. Now, that includes implementation of the Waste Act, NEMA, and the Air Quality Act. 229 for green issues, protected areas and biodiversity, and only one for blue issues, that's marine and integrated coastal management. So as to the appointment of these 800 EMIs, we say we need more detail about the time frame in meeting this target, how many of these EMIs are going to be newly appointed, how many will be existing EMIs, how many will be dedicated to implementing the Waste Act, compliance and enforcement of the Waste Act, I mean, and how many from each of the three spheres. The strategy does say that the desirable number in each municipality and province will be quantified, and then the action plan says that this year and next year, the department is going to determine the number of EMIs required for each level of government. These capacity challenges are crucial, and we say they need to be addressed with more urgency and in more detail than they currently are within the strategy. In conclusion, those 3 points, for the strategy to meet the objects of the Waste Act, it needs to be more detailed, clearer, with more practical objectives and timeframes, to make it easier to implement and also easier to measure progress towards meeting the goal, and to identify and address non-compliance. There needs to be serious disincentives for non-compliance, strong enforcement, instead of reliance on the self or co-regulation as voluntary compliance. be a capacity challenge within government, especially in relation to compliance and enforcement, needs to be addressed.
Thanks. Excellent. Lawyers, a very balanced approach. Lawyers always balance when they're not getting paid for something. When they get paid for something, then they become problematic. It seems to me that is a balanced approach. I think, except in self-regulation, I think the approach of BUSA is probably correct, is that you wouldn't want to exclude them completely. You would want to exclude them from certain things completely in regulation. But there may be some of them that they can play a valuable role, but then you must identify those and you must create the obligation. That seems to be the way to do it. But there are some things that they should not be involved in at all. There's self-interest involved. It's like, law society. You let lawyers decide whether other lawyers are crooks. Well, you know. Why would you say today that they're a crook when they're going to find you a crook tomorrow? I mean, you would hate it. So I think this is something we've not engaged with the department on it, so I wouldn't comment too much because I don't know what is in the law and so on. But it does seem that the approach between you and BUSA, there's a good balance to be found there on the self-regulation issue. Any comments, questions? Seems very balanced. In fact, there's not a word that's out of place here. Commas are right, the semicolons are right, the dashes are right, the slashes are right. Thank you very much. This is very useful. We'll be following up on this. And engaging further. The capacity thing is a huge problem, and it's a bit difficult to know how to address it. In government, capacity is a problem in any case to address, but to try and address it across three spheres of government, three agencies, because nowhere in government do you sit and say, well, let's look at the capacity for waste, and okay, everyone's going to agree, like that. What they are doing it now on infrastructure, with the president being part of it. So for the first time ever, government is now starting to look at it in infrastructure. But something like waste like this, there's no way in government that someone sits down and says, okay, now let's look at all three levels. So what do we do to capacitate it down? So what's going to happen here? I know what happens. So we push the capacity. This poor department pushes here and pushes it. So one municipality does it. Another one province does it. And so on. What we don't have in government, the way that government is structured in the Constitution, is that capacity to be able to look at and then to say, this is a plan for the whole sector and this is how we're going to fund it. Now, I have started engaging with the Minister of Finance, not necessarily on this, but on water infrastructure. The things that we in the committee have found and we think should be changing there. And in fact, there is some movement. So there is a possibility for us to keep engaging the Treasury. But until we get Treasury to say, for this waste strategy, we want integrated plans, and then look at the capacity holistically with it, we're going to really struggle with this capacity. Because in terms of priorities, someone looks at, a municipality looks at the priority, a province. I know that waste is somewhere the corner there. So, but the point you make, we definitely take on board and we'll follow it up.
You know, in the discussion about office
of government, that you're about the movement system and then the Committee for Environmental Coordination, was in review. Now, it's all those things we have to look at. And this committee, as I say, we're totally on board on these things. It's just the way to find mechanisms. As I say, with infrastructure, it's been easy now because the president has formed. So if you then talk to people, people are now listening to, okay, because the president's got this structure, they listen very quickly. But now we must try and find ways on waste, for example, on sanitation, how to get that message across. I know the deputy minister holds that Koro of those every year. What is it called? Koro. That's a kind of a useful place. But again, that's got no powers to say, do this. It just pulls people together and let them talk. Yeah? So we'll think about how to engage on that, to try and let government, if there's a strategy now, isn't isn't there a way that we can get Treasury to force people to look at this thing on this? So thanks a lot. Okay, groundwork. You've got the last few minutes before 11 o'clock. Use it wisely, my friend. Where are you?
I'm here. Thank you, Chair. And greetings to everybody. My name is Musa Kamane. I work for an NGO called Groundwork, Friends of the Earth South Africa. We are based in Pietermaritzburg. I think it would be wise for me to report that I'm with few community people that I work with. I've got Simon Bata from South African Wheat Pickers Association, and I've got Hoso Podori from cement community, that lives next to cement plants, and I've got Homo Somotisele from Demo Power. They are resisting Demo Power activities there. So in my presentation, I'm not sure about that. He can speak for himself. Okay. We as Groundwork, we've been involved with the Waste Act, with the strategy, and that has led us to be here today. And we are happy with some of the areas that have been covered in the Waste Act and as well as in the strategy. But we need to emphasize a few points there. For example, my presentation is going to cover these five areas. As you can see, zero waste has the potential to create jobs, waste incineration as a false solution and threat to job creation, and integration of waste pickers to municipal waste management system. Fence line communities are still not protected by the environmental laws and medical waste. Okay, I'm going to cover those five areas. So when we talk of zero waste as Groundwork, we believe that recycling is something that needs to be promoted. And recycling has a potential of creating so many jobs in South Africa. And so far, Groundwork has visited more than 90 landfill sites in South Africa and 90 towns in South Africa. And you find these people who are working informally on the streets, that chair you were talking about, in the past 2 days, saying there are guys coming to your suburb and collecting waste. So we work with those communities, and those guys have created employment for themselves. They are doing waste recycling, more especially on domestic waste. So we felt that it is a very important opportunity for government to assist to create more and more jobs and create sustainable, dignified employment. But there are challenges with that. It's sub-segregation or sub-separation of waste, and there are no bylaws from local municipalities that encourages that, from most local municipalities to encourage waste recycling. And local infrastructure restructuring is also a challenge. And funding, because such projects where you involve community people, you need funding and so on. So that is also a challenge. So the other challenge that we have, we accept the waste hierarchy because we've been part of it, the negotiations of it and so on. It is clear, but we believe that it must favor the first few steps of the hierarchy, the recycling and so on and so on. I have covered that earlier. And we believe that waste incineration will act against waste recycling, and it will not create much jobs for the majority of South Africans, because if we say waste incineration is promoted in the country, it will only provide skillful jobs or technical jobs. It will not cover for the majority of the poor South Africans who are already operating in the local communities. And I remember in the past few days and even this morning, you also spoke about fly ash, and we believe that fly ash is waste, and it must be classified as that, promote resource intensive extraction, more energy use upstream, more climate change, more environmental impact. Because, for example, if you take tires and you burn these tires, that means you're only changing the form of waste that you're talking about, which is tires, from solid form to gas form. Because when you take them to cement kilns and you burn them, when you burn them, there will be air emissions that will come out, and there will be dioxin and furans that will impact on communities and so on and so on. So we believe that incineration is a false solution. It is not a real solution. So, can you pass this one? It's not a proper solution. We don't believe in it. And we believe that the tires, the cement industry, is interested in tires because of the green levy that we pay. Whenever you buy a new tire, there is a levy that is taken aside for disposal at the end of the day. So that levy has been accumulating as the tires themselves are accumulating either at the landfill site or anywhere. So they are accumulating. So cement industry, they want to take these tires to replace coal with these tires. And say government give them a positive ROD's record of decision to say they can go ahead and burn these tires. That means cement industry can go and claim that green levy. But we don't believe in that. We say tires need to be shredded, it needs to be recycled, we need to recover rubber chrome from them and be used. So in doing that, that will involve more and more people such as waste seekers in such activities, unlike the industrial processes such as those that are proposed by cement plants. So we believe that it's a false solution. So the healthcare risk waste incineration, it's also a concern for us. Our primary concern with the draft healthcare waste regulation is that it is draft regulation. Like section 4.1k, it says no person may treat anatomical waste and isolation of waste in a technology other than incineration. And we feel that the department has already chosen the technology that has to be used, which is unfair to prescribe the technology that has to be used as incineration. We believe that healthcare waste can be sterilized and disinfected rather than saying we should go straight for incineration, even if that's the case. But the department should not take the side with regard to technology. So I've covered this to say there are lots more job opportunities that can be created if DIA will assist municipalities to say how they can involve waste seekers in their waste management system. For example, in Moy River and in Pietermaritzburg, the labor intensive materials recovery facilities for domestic waste is being implemented now. The municipalities there were willing enough to listen to us and to listen to waste seekers to say, let's create jobs by taking this waste and recycling it rather than burying it at the landfill site. So the other issue that we have, the fence line communities still vulnerable. They are not protected by environmental legislation. Communities are affected by waste incineration. Communities such as Demo Power, Homoso can cover on that. And I think you've been seeing it in the past 2 years on national newspapers where they are covering the issue of Demo Power, burning waste there and so on and so on. Cement communities, cement plants that have applied to their provincial department to burn waste and hazardous waste in the cement kilns. That is a concern for communities in those areas. And political interference and intimidation in the case of Emu Power, as well in the cement communities, where you will find that comrades will be approached and will be intimidated to say they need to shut up, they need to not to talk up against some industries and so on and so on. So we believe that. So we believe that we need these following three things. We need strong regulations, adequate monitoring, and tough enforcement of the legislation so that we protect communities as well as the environment. So, yeah, that was my presentation, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Kobena. this clause 41K, we had different answers on this, but I would suggest that the easiest way to solve this thing and not lock us into one technology is to say, unless approved by the minister. That gives you an opening that if there's a technology comes along, minister approves it, then you can use it like that as well.
Okay.
I think we should do that because Morgan the other day raised new technologies, and if there are good new technologies, why do we stick to one? I mean, if there are good ones, then. And there are different types of waste. You know? The one is we take a piece of Mr. Mateva's arm and we throw that away. That's one type of waste. But the other waste, we throw away syringes, for example. You know? It's a different type of waste.
Okay.
That's a very useful input. Look at to deal with. It's because comrades always get intimidated by the boss. They tell you who intimidates by the boss. Any comrades get intimidated, not that
Jefferson,
Madam Zigalala,
can you explain to me what is the meaning of the word comrade?
Thing that Ms. Lotta spoke about, that
think Ms. Lotta was talking about the case of the waste information regulation, where she was saying that, as an example, we have a national waste information system, that you have provinces, and examples there are Western Cape and Gauteng that have their system to which facilities must then report. Now,
so isn't there legislation?
So we have
legislation.
So we have the national waste information.
But the provinces have legislation on waste.
Yes, they do. But in the particular case that in the Flotta race of reporting, we have worked with, so NASAL has worked with Western Cape and Gauteng to harmonize. I mean, we have had numerous meetings. We have sent our technical guys to meet with the technical people that have developed the system in the Western Cape and in Gauteng to precisely avoid that industries or facilities, rather, must report twice.
Okay, so the second thing I asked is, have we harmonized and taken that into our national waste strategy and harmonized what we want there? Exactly what you're saying now, talk to them and say that we don't have to report twice and so on. Have we harmonized that into the strategy?
Absolutely. We have done that for the waste information.
In the strategy?
Yes, it is in the strategy. And the other thing that we've said is that, and I know they made the point, you didn't talk specifically to it, but it was in the submission, the concern that and Rukaya have around provinces and for that matter municipalities developing their own norms and stuff. Now that is something that is provided for in the Act, but we have instruments both in the Act and in the cooperative governance mechanisms we have in this country to make sure that duplication doesn't happen. We have proven in the case of the waste information the reporting system that we are capable of sorting out those duplications, and there's no reason why we can't do it for any other.
I can see it's another good reason why our suggestion of sitting down for a few days with all these role players to make sure that those things, because clearly from their input they don't feel that way. They feel that they reporting twice, etc., etc. Okay. Baba.
The department, don't you have some ways of putting some conditions within these ROPs? Say, including something like a mitigation condition.
I saw it.
My actually goes off the crowd when I hear about the work they're doing and how they can empower the communities around your areas. The one very interesting thing that came up, and it's around the tire levy, and I'm assuming this as how it was said, is that it almost appears that the cement industry is burning these tires, and it is hazardous to the communities around that, but really to benefit from the green levy. So, the ultimate thing is for them to get money out of government. It's a comment, it just seems so unfair. You know, it's a big industry knocking the NGOs out of the way. Doing a good thing, burning tires, getting rid of the tires that should go into the landfill. But ultimately, there's a selfish reason, and the reason at the end of it is the green levy. I don't know what we can do. I don't know. It's a comment. It's just, I'm sitting and I'm thinking, you know, it's just something wrong. I don't know. Don't think and because one cement company has been given the okay, how does government then go ahead and say no to somebody else when a precedent has been set? It's just really just a comment.
Which department gives this levy?
I'm not sure which sitting which department, but I'm not sure whether the DEA knows exactly this levy, where it is kept. But there is a green levy I can forward you information after this. If you buy a tire, there's a green label that is put aside, just like the plastic bag. For plastic bag, it was called suicide bag. For this, I think it's a Satrap. Oh, Redisa now. Yeah, Redisa, yeah.
All right, so send us that information because, I mean, I'm not aware of such a levy and the department here furiously shook their heads, so they're not involved in it. So if it's green, it must be another green department. Other than that, yeah. I don't doubt that you're correct, it's just that we're not aware of it. So please send that information to us. You can send it to Chilek, okay? So we'll
okay.
Send it around.
Okay.
Because clearly, I mean, I have the same discomfort that I often, unless it's a really good reason, but if we want to create green economies and want to protect the environment, it can't be because we subsidize it. I mean, you know, we either agree as a nation this will be done in a certain way or it won't be done in that way, and then if you do it, it's fine. If you don't, then we punish you. But we shouldn't be paying you. I also feel a discomfort. So we'll have a look at that if you send it to us.
Any other issues you want to raise?
I'm not sure what to do. You know, this thing about people living close to where something hazardous lives, and usually the poor, because only the poor are going to live there. I mean, some middle class person is not going to go and live next to a cement factory. So I don't know really how one deals with that, because obviously if people have licenses and things to do certain things, well, they're entitled to do it. But for example, Marvin Gagne often raises with us that where she lives, there's a mine there and they'll burn piles and piles of tires right next to the school. And I think what we should be looking at, maybe, Ms. Kobena, I again, not having studied this strategy well, I don't know, but maybe we should be looking at, when we do that guide, again, when it comes to things of enforcement, to be very practical. And in the guide, for example, to say that, you know, you think that someone's doing something that's not right, for example, burning tires, lightning, then this is the number that you phone in KwaZulu-Natal, this is the number or the person, you know. So that we, in a practical way, try and empower people who, you know, so that NGOs like this can at least, I mean, it's difficult to do anything else if the people have a license, but at least if it looks like it's something wrong, to say, well, at least here's a number for the green or pink or purple scorpions, I'm never sure which ones they are. Which in that province and where their offices and so on. Because we should start. Your best way of enforcement, because we have so little staff, your best way of enforcement is the community becomes your eyes and ears. And then you don't have to go and look for problems. You know, someone says, here's a problem, so then you go deal with it. And you know you're helping someone right there and there. So in that guide, I think on enforcement, I can't suggest more than us just being very practical in that. And, you know, if we think people are contravening any aspects of the way this is. Number one, DDG Kobena. Give your cell number right next to it. And then your second in charge, your third in charge, and then all the green scorpions. And then once you get 500 phone calls on one day, then you'll immediately let the green scorpions do their work properly and not do that. So that's all I can really suggest for us to be practical, because clearly, I mean, these people do operate with licenses and so on. Yes, sir.
I would like to raise one thing, if that's possible, and I don't know whether it's the responsibility of the department to say it would be good if maybe the municipalities will get a guide as to how to develop the integrated waste management plans, because I've been trying to request them from various municipalities, but only one or two have given me out of a lot that I have requested. I think it's even the metro. I got it, but on other municipalities that are not metros, these documents, they seem non-existent. So I'm not sure whether there is a guide to say if you're developing an IWMP, it needs to look like this. I'm not sure whether it's the role of the department or it's the role of the
board. In the department, they've told us they've got a toolkit that they use. But what we've asked them is to go beyond that. Is that them, COFTA and SALGA must get together and they must find practical ways of how they're going to do exactly what you say. So particularly with poorer, less capacitated municipalities, what plan are they going to come up with to say, not only here the toolkit, fill in the toolkit, but actually to say, how do we help that municipality to gather the information? That's the big problem, not filling in the toolkit, to gather the information that must go into the toolkit before you can have the plan. So we've asked them in 3 months to report back to us on what they're doing, the three of them, COFTA, the department, and SALGA, to try and deal with that issue.
Say this as well. Regarding recycling, Department of Trade and Industry has once called a national meeting of all formal and informal recyclers. Seemingly, they wanted to do something on recycling. So if the department is serious about doing recycling, I thought maybe Department of Trade and Industry will be a good friend in trying to develop that. What you're saying, it would be nice if also Department of Trade and Industry are part of that, because they even say they've got funding for projects to be implemented on the ground, especially for informal recyclers. It's just a suggestion.
That's good, and that's something that can follow, but of course the first thing we want to do is help municipalities to be able to draft this plan. That's the first thing. The second thing will then be, how do we then do the practical stuff?
Okay.
That's a good suggestion. All right, anything else from anyone? All right, then I'm going to allow Ms. Kobena to say a last few words if you feel like it. If you don't, that's fine. You can thank me and you can thank my committee.
That's exactly what I want to do.
You can thank, my mother for giving birth to me. Okay, sorry, have you got good, Paula?
Thank you.
Sorry, So
the question was, do we have conditions in our authorization for licenses that relate to mitigation? Yes, that is correct. We do have those conditions in our licenses.
That's why licenses are important. I mean, you know, why people don't want them, but you know, people like Ms. Lotta, they don't like licenses. But we will give it to them so that we can mitigate and stop them from killing us and killing our babies. I hope no one quotes that. I see that yesterday some newspaper found it necessary to what did they say? I said something. Thank God I never came to us. Some journalists thought that is so important that reported, you know, that thank God I don't live amongst the acid mine drains. Hey, I tell you. What my daughter will say about that is that journalists have the concentration span of an ant. I'm just looking where the journalists are. Who's going to write it tomorrow? Thank God that they've got a concentration span of an ant. Huh? Are you? You look like a journalist. Shoot him. Okay. Ms. Kobena?
Thank you, Chair. I want to thank you and the committee for facilitating this hearing. We found them particularly enriching. And I think, as I said, on the first day, we think that the implementation of the National Waste Management Strategy has already been agreed by the process, and I think that we will see a better rollout and implementation of the strategy with the input that we have received during the last 3 days. I think that we will have more detailed engagements with each of the stakeholders that were present here in the various processes that we are running, whether those relate to the regulations that ensue from the Act, committed to in the strategy, or the issues that should be taken forward in relation to some of the proposed amendments to the Act, or any of the other policy interventions we are involved with in the department, because I think all these things are related, and we have to
strategy that has developed basically from the legislation till 2008 until now, I'm highly impressed. With whatever criticism there have been, I'm highly impressed. Because to start something like this from scratch, with the huge legal obstacles we have of having three levels of government, having all the agencies, and I think that we've done well. I really think we've done well. I think we must congratulate you and the rest of your staff, and of course the department. You see, it's become so important that we now have a separate unit in the department dealing with waste. I mean, we now have a DDG dealing with it. I mean, that's how important it's become. So I think that's the first thing we have to say, that whatever criticism has been leveled, whatever they is, those we take in a constructive way, and there's definitely place for improvement, both in terms of legislation, in terms of regulations, and implementation. But I don't think that should detract from what has been done. I mean, I think that's the first thing we have to say. Secondly, we've given you a whole lot of tasks, which I think if we get going with them and get them moving, what that does, that although we are bound into an act and regulations and into a strategy, and it'll only be in 5 years' time, there's nothing wrong with us already fixing up, which has to be fixed up. When we get to the 5 years, it's easy, we then just slot it in. You know, the things that we discussed, for example, around sanitation. I mean, it's very clear that the department felt that that didn't really fit under this. But as we went along and discussed the matter and saw that water affairs is actually dealing with that issue, and it does fall underway, you can already now go into a whole section, which may not be in the strategy at the moment, but already do that, and by then drafting a guide, a practical guide, that must really be practical, then you can really start putting a lot of that stuff in there. Because there's nothing wrong with a guide like that to say, this is what the strategy said, but this is what is inspirational and what we're going to move towards. There's nothing wrong with saying that. In fact, it's really government being forward-looking, being progressive in the way it does. So I'm hoping that by us asking you to do all those things you have to do around local government, around the legislation, around this meeting with the stakeholders, that all that will feed into when you get that report in 3 months, then see what we want to do with it. My feeling is probably that we need another meeting in the latter part of the year, where we'll then try and tighten up some more of this stuff. And hopefully by then, the legislation would have at least progressed and would have taken the less controversial issues and been able to put it into that legislation to clean up the and the or, for example, and a few things like that. And maybe if we move towards an exemption, which shouldn't be, instead of tinkering too much with the definition. So it's all those possibilities that exist. And all that has arisen because of your hard work and your input into this process. And then, of course, the stakeholders, you know, often you can sit here and you can listen to a lot of rubbish, to be quite honest with you. And that's democracy. I mean, that's what we're here for. We have to listen to rubbish sometimes. I mean, honestly. And I don't say that this happens all the time, but sometimes you can. But I must say that the quality of the input on this occasion and the fact that they were kind of crisp and very to the point, I mean, it's really enlightening, which shows to me that the people that have come really understand the area and they're interested in the area and they want to make it work. That's lovely. And you'll find us being a partner in helping with that and facilitating that. And just as we're always a partner with the department to make sure that it does the best by the people, so we will be in partnership with you. And that is why, on this occasion, definitely, I really want the department to sit down with the stakeholders. Because we don't yet just have a lot of mouthpulpa that are just shouting off the air. I mean, there may be misunderstandings, which can be taken away by talking and discussing through these things. So I'm very positive about this. I think this is really a chance for us in the waste area. Because I must tell you, I think there are big things in government that have gone wrong. And I'm not scared to say it. I mean, someone shoot me, that's fine. But I mean, for example, the movement of sanitation to human settlements, I think has been an unmitigated disaster. I mean, there can be no doubt about it. I mean, someone didn't think through the process when the suggestion was made to do that. Because, I mean, you know, simply if you've been in government, and we've been here now since 1994, and you say this, you're going to move a whole section of government somewhere else. The first thing you say to yourself, okay, so you're taking something that exists to something where it doesn't exist. So if it doesn't exist, that means there's no laws there, there's no regulations there, and there's no capacity. Nothing. So at the very least you want to do that, then you have to go first and create the laws, create the capacity, then you move. So what did we do? We moved it, and then we said the two departments sit together and talk to each other and say how it's going to work. So clearly there are areas that doesn't make the work of the waste family much easier, and decisions like this, which were well-intentioned, there's no doubt about it, I don't question that. But clearly it wasn't thought through and the consequences of it and so on. So it's something that worries us, and it's something that all of us, opposition and the majority on this committee, have raised, have spoken about. Because we do think it's something that it needs to be looked at. And then, of course, the more organized we get, and the more that people can see that we know what we're talking about in the waste area, the more chances we have, of course, of persuading Treasury to do the things you said around capacity. I mean, I've always found Treasury to be sticklers, and they not only cross the T's and dot the I's, they put circles around them and little parentheses, and so they do those things. But I've also found them to be, when they see people know what they're doing, and they can put forward proper plans, then I've also found them to be forthcoming on the kind of... So what we need to do is to get our things ready that we can talk with a bit more of one voice, that it's easier to try and deal with the capacity problem. When you go there, you're fragmented, you haven't got a clue what you're talking about, everyone's all over the place, then you're quite rightly, Treasury says, but wrong. I mean, there's no way that you're going to give money and throw it into a pool. So I see here the potential in Waste Miss Covenant to actually pull these things together, get people, talk to these partners of yours and get them on board so that we're moving in the same direction. That will be put us in a much stronger position to put Waste at the end of the term of this administration much more forcefully on them. Because I think that the inputs, we got the scary input from Miss, who was she, the AMD lady? Ethelink. I mean, I think that if you go into the different areas and look at the legacy of the past and how people have suffered because of we didn't regulate probably the chemical industry properly or the mines properly, I think you'll find that there's much more disasters than we actually think it is. And a lot of people that are dying because of things that have been done in those days. I mean, I get shocked when I see bricks being made from material that, it scares me. That we as a government haven't got the ability to regulate that properly and so on. And that bricks are being built from basically toxic materials. And what do you do with bricks? You usually build houses with bricks. So if someone's going to live in a house with these bricks, or work in a building with these bricks, or something at least, you're going to do something with the bricks. Those kind of things really worry me. And that is why it's important for us to regulate this area properly. And then we as governments also know what we're doing, because we don't want to stifle entrepreneurship. You don't want to regulate it in a way, it must be regulated, it must be strongly regulated, it mustn't be in a way also to stop entrepreneurship. Of course, we're not good with that, because we're not entrepreneurs. We little greenies, we look with green eyes at everything, and we like fluffy things, and we like petting babies and little rhinoceros and stuff, and things like that. That's what we get excited about. So we're not entrepreneurs, so we need to make sure that we get our balances right, so we don't also stifle that side of it, that there can be economic growth, job creation. So it's very important, this area. I see this area as a huge place for growth. I mean, I don't see, for me, effort mine drainage and waste, I do not see as problems. I see them as potential opportunities, huge opportunities, to do a whole lot of good stuff in South Africa. So I think if you look at it, that's how we look at it as a committee, and I think I can speak for all of us when I say that, then you can see what potential we've got here, and you've got us as a partner to help you through those things. And so the task we've given you, when you've got it ready, talk to me again, and then we'll start seeing how we can deal and move with it into the latter part of the year. Okay. Anyone from the want to add something, Mr. Morgan?
Thank you. I associate myself with your comments. And I want to comment on something else that you've said before. There are a lot of regulations that flow out of the Waste Act, and increasingly so, plus they are increasingly on those things. It's actually write to the committee chairperson to say, this is what is going on with this regulation. So, for example, like the tire sector has, you know, largely bypassed the committee. I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm not saying anyone's done anything wrong. But I really feel like...
We read about it in the media.
So, that kind of stuff. And the various other updates on the specific sectors for which there are currently being strategies determined. And I think one of the things I take away from the week and the chairperson's comments, given the broad comments, is that definitional problems can cause significant stress for the role players involved. And it may be from the department's point of view that they're inconsequential and people are making too much of a fuss about them. But I think the important thing here is what I got out of the week was that we have stakeholders who want to comply. No one wants to fall foul of any regulations, and that's a good thing. So when we make it difficult to act, or when people don't get access easily enough to government, we stress the system out, and I think that is unnecessary. So all of these waste plans being developed at the moment really should come back here, and I think as a committee we want to see as much engagement, proof and evidence of as much possible engagement with all the stakeholders as possible to minimize, if not eradicate, the grey areas and any areas which add unnecessary costs. And I emphasize the word unnecessary costs to doing business in South Africa. But thank you. I've learned a lot this week, Chairperson. I think it's generally been very good. I appreciate the stakeholder comments. I appreciate the department's comments. And I think it's a very important sector. We need to make it a regular agenda item on the committee.
Thank you very much. I think we all agree. And that is something that the units and the department should remember. There's too often that we are not informed of things. Not that there's an obligation, as Mr. Morgan says, but if you actually regard us as a partner, then it means something, and we should know about these things. And of course you have to process it through your DG and your minister, that's fine, no problem. But I must say, you know, when all this Redisa stuff came out, I was really muffed by it. I was actually fed up that things were getting in the media and we were never told about it, we didn't know about it. I'd never heard about that before it hit the media. The restructuring of the department has got nothing to do with you. I mean, one day we come here, we just hear suddenly the department is restructured. No one ever even vaguely told us that they're restructuring the department. And when you look at the restructuring, it actually looks quite good. I mean, you know, having a new unit on waste is a good thing, it's not bad. But the problem is that the department must learn how to use Parliament as a partner. We can't just be as something that is seen as having to hold you accountable. Partnership entails something more. And I think this is what Mr. Morgan has quite rightly emphasized, which I forgot to do. So you guys must really over and love the task we've given you. If there are big developments in your little part of the thing, of the department, you must insist that information gets sent to Parliament. Or at least say, you can have a meeting with the chair so I can look at it and can bring it to the committee or tell the committee that there's something going on. Okay? So this is not just directed at you, it's to the department generally. Okay? Alright. Thank you. I think we can all go home with a nice, fuzzy, warm feeling. Those of you that drink a lot. Those of you that drive fast. And please be careful. For the committee, there is a program on. I hope you've got the copy for next week. Mr. Matebe is going to be so happy, and he's going to come and thank his chair, maybe even kiss his chair after this. He will notice that his chair has been able to fit all the inputs into 3 days for next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And Friday at this day time is only provisional at this stage. So I think there's going to be great happiness within the committee. But it's a very big, full program, as you can see. And obviously, it's the first time we're looking at the implementation of the white paper on climate change. So it's going to be a fascinating process. So we'll do this next week. The only thing I'm not sure about, which is worrying me a little bit, is it seems to me that there is no caucus on Thursday morning, and I've done the program that there is no caucus. Because if there's now some parts are going to have a caucus and we're going to maybe have problems, so then we'll have to move the Thursday morning stuff. So that program is all up and running. Yesterday I was asked out of the blue to try and arrange for this committee to participate in the Rio Plus 20 conference. Although we've done it, we've suggested 3 ANC and 2 opposition and so on. Although we've done it, I have no real enthusiasm that it's going to actually happen. Because in effect, these things are being organized in the speaker's office. People are now starting to panic because it hasn't been done there yet. They're trying to say, well, let's make sure that someone has been going, and someone they've asked about. Now, I do hope that they agree that our committee goes. I think it's right that it's our committee and not just, as usual, one from our committee and so on. So please just know that those processes, I have no chance to control them. Yesterday, literally, and another request yesterday, we were asked the Ugandan thing. One person had to go to Uganda for something or the other. It was also yesterday. They had received the invite like 4 weeks ago, and we get told, you know. So the problem is that those invites sit there. People sit on them thinking, hey, we're going to go, and then it lasts when they're done. So please don't shoot the messenger with you. You know me, I usually want to consult properly on these things and so on. I've not had a chance. So that is that as well. The one thing I'm not sure about, I am still for the week after, which is our last week of term. Remember we had those briefings on mining and stuff. I'm still looking at whether we should do those briefings, because I'm not sure. Some people may be gone, some people may be here and so on. So maybe it's not so important that we know those briefings right next week. We maybe put them in the first part of the next term. So I may then that week say it's not me. But at this stage, we still work for 2 days. The EIA, the mining, and the sustainable development strategy. The other thing I just started looking at yesterday is the oversight trip. Can I suggest that we have had some discussions, like informally and so on now and then. You all have my cell number. If you have any particular things you think we should fit into our oversight work in July, I already am thinking of the thing that we saw at the COP17 to see how ESCOM is using renewable energy. I think that's a really good hint. The carbon sequestration. There was a whole program they explained how they sequestrated into rock the carbon and so on. I thought it was worth us seeing that process because it's part of the white paper. Then we've also suggested the Sitwe Highlands, and see how that process works. And then we have our perennials, which we may not be able to fit in again, but it's Mangalisa and Kruger Park. Believe it or not, we work when we go there. And there was one or two other things. But if there are any other things that people have thought about, send it through to me before I finalize the thing and so on. Because I need to finalize it in the next 2 weeks so we can make an application. You all know which date. The date at the moment that we have available is the week from the about 15th of July. It's 2 weeks, which is oversight and committee, before the committee actually starts. I think it's from the 15th of July, so it's the third week in July and the fourth week in July, okay? So those are the 2 weeks we usually use for it, so just be aware of that. I will try and send something, but if you please let me know. Mr. Morgan?
Thanks, Chair. Credit to this committee that it meets so much. One of the things we have to do is our committee members. They are building up, and it freaks me out because it is the most boring thing to do, committee minutes. We actually need a marathon session. Who sooner than later to pass a lot of committee bills.
I hope someone read it, but I didn't.
I've read a lot that have been provided to me.
Okay.
The point is, now I read them so long ago, I can't even remember them.
You're 100% not only that, our annual report hasn't been passed. Our oversight report from last time hasn't been passed. So all those really technical, yucky issues are there. The problem is, I have not had the time to study them, and one wouldn't want to pass minutes that are incorrect. So I really ask people to have a look at them. What we will try and maybe do in that, not this week, the week after that, we can't just get rid of a whole lot of things. So the ones that you've read and you're happy with, kind of keep them one side, and we'll only process those ones we've done. I'll also try and read at least through the annual report and the oversight report before then, so that we can get those two major reports out the way as well. So thank you, Norman. I have that on my list and just haven't got around to it. Then the other report we haven't done, and I've especially kept it aside, is the white paper report. Thing I've spoken in the debate about, you know, which things were. Now, I've got Scotty to draft a report for us. I wanted us to actually wait till we after next week so that we look at the implementation stuff, and if we want to add something on the implementation, we add it to that report. So we then got one report on all the way. Does this help you understand? I haven't told you before, but that's what I really had in mind. Scotty, could you please get that report, although we haven't checked it yet? Send it as a draft to Chileka, let's get it to each member, and he said they've got it available for next week, and then we can, during the week, we'll fix it up. And we want to add stuff on the implementation stuff, we can then add it. Okay? Send it to Chileka, and Chileka will send you all the members. Okay? Mr. Morgan?
The other thing that's on my mind is my, and I suspect it's on your mind every day, is I wonder whether we shouldn't just move this weather bill to July as well. Because we've got three plenary sessions left. There's certain rules of Parliament we have to comply with. Half of us are away at the same time. And I don't think we can make an assumption that we've completed in a day.
What I've done is I've finished the amendments. I've now sent them to the Minister and I'm waiting for a comment. I think he's just spoken to me and said he's relatively happy with it. He's been close to the process. We may have to deal with it that way. Or, once she's happy with it as well, I mean, obviously the members have it before we go into a committee meeting.
Yeah.
You can look at it. If people are happy with it, then it's quite easy for us to meet with a committee before. If you're unhappy with it, well, then we may see how unhappy and see if we have to discuss it or not. If we can then pass that at least in the next week, we probably won't have the debate on it, but at least get them passed. I've looked at them now. I've cleaned up all the stuff on the CEO, which was the problem. I've taken out all the details and things that have made it a relatively simple process. So that is there. The Minister's got it. Once she has commented on whether we need to meet with her more to discuss it or what, then members will get it and we'll then pass it. I think it's reached the stage now where all the things that we've discussed are in and we should be relatively happy. For example, that thing you removed, that the weather services are the ones that give the warning. I mean, we've got agreement that that comes out and that's actually given to the Minister. We'll do that at NEMBA.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Thanks for sitting so very patiently, listening to all the boring things of the committee. But now you can at least see we work. And that the small salaries we get as MPs are highly justified. If you just listen to how much discussion we just put in this work of ours. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned. We'll see each other Tuesday at 9:30 in the old assembly chamber. Cool.